So we're up to the Mishnah Nun Amud Beis. The Mishnah teaches a chofer bor b'rishus harabim. If someone dug a pit in the public domain, the nafal letocho shor or chamor, and a donkey or an ox falls in and gets damaged or dies, depending how deep the pit is, chayiv, the digger of the pit, has to pay for the damages. It doesn't matter what type of pit, echra chofer bor, whether he dug a pit that was round, siach, he dug a pit that was long and narrow, ma'ara, a square pit with a cover, charitzin, a pit that was squared that doesn't have a cover, or ni'itzin, a pit that was squared, smaller on the bottom and wider as it got larger. Any of these pits, chayiv, if an animal falls in, the digger of it has to pay. Im kein if solamen emar bor, why does the Torah only speak about a pit which is round? If all the different types of pits, a person has to pay for the damages, it's to teach you. Ma bor sheish bo kedei lahamis asar tvachim, a pit which is round, you're only obligated if the animal dies in it, if it was deep enough to kill, namely 10 tvachim. So to these other types of pits, the only time you would have to pay for the death of an animal is if it was 10 tfachim deep. If the pit was less than 10 tfachim, and into the pit fell an ox or a donkey and died, Pater, the owner of the pit, is exempt. And if the animal got damaged in it, chayiv, the owner of the pit has to pay. So Amar Rav taught, Bor Shechiva Olav Torah, when the Torah obligates the digger of a pit to pay for the damages that happened in his pit that he dug, it's Lehevlo. He has to pay for the damage that was caused by the vapors in the pit, V'lo L'chavato. But not for damage that's caused by hitting the floor of the pit, damage caused by the force of impact. It's not the force of the impact of the fall that a person is paying for. A person is paying for the damage caused by the vapors within the pit. Alma Kesavras apparently is of the opinion, Chavata Karka Olam Hudamazkale. If an animal falls into a pit and gets hit by the floor of the pit, that's just the floor of the world that's damaging him. That's not something that the digger of the pit is responsible for. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says, Lahavlo, the one who dug the pit has to pay for the damage caused by the vapors in the pit. V'koshken l'chavato. If he's responsible for the damage caused by the vapors, he's certainly responsible for the damage caused by the force of impact by hitting the floor of the pit. But he's not looking at pits. A guy who dug the pit without putting a cover over it is the one who's responsible. He should have covered the pit. He should never have made a situation where people who walk fall into things or animals fall into things.
What if he makes a sign, a warning?
So we saw before that that's good enough. Yeah. It will be enough. We'll
and
see.
What if he doesn't actually dig the pit? It's like a sinkhole in his property that ends at the private domain. I mean, in the public domain. He didn't dig it.
Still wouldn't make a difference because once he saw it, he has a responsibility to cover it. So the question here is, what is it that the digger of the pit is paying for? So there are two options. Either he's paying only for damage caused by the vapors in the pit, or if he has to pay for the damage caused by vapors, he certainly has to pay for the damage caused by impact. V'im Tomer, if you might say, according to Shmuel, if you're saying that the definition of the damage is l'chavato amra Torah, the Torah was talking about the damage caused by the impact of hitting the floor, v'lo l'hevlo, maybe it's not talking about the damage caused by the vapors. No. The Torah says you have to pay for a pit. That implies afilu mali svugan shel tzemer. You even have to pay for the damage of a pit, even when there is no floor, even when the bottom of the pit is covered with wool, so that if an animal falls in, it has a soft fall. There is no impact of a fall. Even then you have to pay. So what are you paying for? It must be you're paying for the vapors that damage. My Beinah, what's the difference between Rav and Shmuel? Iko Beinah, the difference would be like this. If instead of digging a pit, Davad Gover Bershus HaRav, a person made a huge mound in the public domain, and animals fall off the mound. L'Rav, according to Rav, that you're paying for vapors, Agova Lo Machayit. When you make a mound and the animal goes up and then it falls off of the mound, there's no vapor, so there's nothing to pay for. It's just impact. But L'Shmuel, who said you pay for the vapors that damage, plus for the impact of damage, Agova Nami Machayit, even if the damage came about because the person he made a mound and animals walked to the top of the mound and fell off, he'd have to pay. Says the Gemara, my time of the Rav. What's the reasoning of Rav? Damar Krak, because the Pasuk says, V'nafal. And a person opens a pit or digs a pit, and into it falls an ox or a donkey. Achipul derech nefila. That implies that you only have to pay when the animal falls in. According to Rav, you don't have to pay because it's not falling in, it's not falling down. Shmuel says, no, v'nafal means kol du, any type of falling, even falling from a height, you also have to pay. V'nafal, and it'll fall, kol du mashman, implies any type of falling. It's not related in our Mishnah. Imkein lamanam arbar, if you have to pay not only for a round pit, but even for a square pit, and for a narrow pit, and for a long pit, and for a covered square pit, and an uncovered square pit. So why did the Torah talk about a round pit in particular? It's to tell you the following, just like a round pit, you're only obligated for the death of an animal if it had enough to kill. If it was big enough to kill an animal, namely it was 10 tefachim deep. So too, all these other types of pits, you're only responsible for the death of animals in them if they're 10 tefachim deep. So Bishmul Shmuel Afkol Lasu Yegova. I understand, according to Shmuel, why it said, just like you have to pay for a pit, so to everything else which has 10 tefachim. What's included by everything else? You already listed the different types of pits, the ma'aron, charitzin, and the itzin, and the siach. So what do you mean, and everything else? And everything else is to include even a mound. El Rav, but according to Rav, you don't have to pay if you make a mound in the public domain and the animal falls off of the mound. So af kol lasuyemai, why did the Mishnah say, so too everything else, what's it including? And so the Gemara lasuyei charitzin, it's to include all these other types of pits, ditches, ne'itzin, and a charitz is a pit that is square and rounded without a cover. A na'itz is a square, square and it doesn't have a cover. Na'itz is a square pit, but it was narrower on the bottom. It got bigger as it got to the top. So I understand, you're telling me you have to include charitzin and itzin. Charitzin and itzin behed yuktanilu. They are said explicitly in the Mishnah that you have to pay for the damage that happens in a charitz and a nitz if you dug those. So the Gemara explains, Tani v'hadar mefarish. First it said, it mentioned these things, and then it explains, it spells these out. First, in other words, Tani, it said in the Mishnah, you have to pay for boar, for siach, for ma'ara, for charitz and na'itz. And then it's saying it. How do you know that you have to pay for these things? Because you learn it out from pit. Since the Torah talks about pit, and pit has 10 tefachim, anything that has 10 tefachim, you have to pay for. Ask the Gemara now a new question. After we've discussed this argument between Rav and Shmuel, what it is that you're paying for in a pit. Hani kulu diktani lamli. Why did the Mishnah have to mention all these different types of pits? Once the Mishnah says, you dig a round pit, maybe that's already enough. Why'd have to say also in a square pit and these other pits? And the Gemara Tzvichah, they were all needed. Itana bar, if it would have only told us a round pit, havmina bar asar, who this be have la mishum nekatun ukricha. When you have a round pit, then you have dangerous vapors. Why? Because it's round and it's pretty small. It's only 10 tefachim. So the vapors are contained. An animal falls in, it's new air, different than the air it had when it was walking on the street, so it died from it. Avol siach, but when you have a siach pit, which is arich, which is very long, so ema basara les behavla, I would have thought that even 10 tefachim still doesn't have enough of the poisonous vapors to kill. Itana siach, if would have told us a long pit, avamina siach asar udis behavl mishum dekatan. Let's say a siach has vapors that can damage an animal based on the change of the air, because it is quite small. Aval ma'ara, but a ma'ara pit in marbara, which is larger and squared, a ma'basara, less we have, I would think even 10 tefachim deep, it doesn't have enough vapors to damage. And so then the you don't have to pay for the damage. Vitan ma'ara, if it would have said a square pit, avamina ma'ara basara, this we have, mishim de metaula. A square pit, once it's 10 tefachim, has bad vapors because it has a cover which bottles up and makes that air there stagnant. Avul charitzin de lo metali, but charitzin that don't have covers, a mabasara lespu avul. I would think even 10 tefachim deep, there is no bad vapor there, and therefore if an animal gets hurt, it's really not being hurt by the vapor, it's some fluke and you don't have to pay. Itan a charitzin, if we would have mentioned that charitzin you have to pay for, have a mean, I would have thought charitzin asaru de ispe havlo mishim de lespu revicha mila eila tvemi tatoi. Charitzin, when it's 10 tefachim deep, there are bad vapors because the bottom is not any wider than the top. In fact, the top is wider than the bottom. Avol ni'itzin, the bottom is not wider than the top. The top is not wider than the bottom. Avol ni'itzin, but in ni'itzin, the revichim l'eilo tfeimi tatoi, where the top of the ni'itza, the nights, is broader than that which is below. Eima basar lespa havel, I would think even 10 tefachim doesn't have the bad vapors. Kamash from that, all these different scenarios, all these different types of pit, round, square, narrow, long, wider on the top and narrower on the bottom, all of them, if they're 10 tefachim deep, they have bad vapors, and if an animal falls in, it got damaged by the vapors, and therefore the person who dug the pit has to pay. Kamash Malan.
So, regarding the Asarat Fachim, what about if we stood Fachim and just he broke his leg? He's not
chayav? No, he has to pay for that.
He has to pay, yeah. Like anything object yeah. Above.
Yes. Okay. Tanah, and we looked at a Mishnah, Hayu p'chusin me'asar tefachim. If the pit is less than 10 tefachim deep, v'nafu l'tocho shor ha'chamoru meis, and a donkey or an ox falls in and dies, patur, the owner of the pit is exempt. Im huzak bo chayav, if the animal gets damaged, as Izzy pointed out, then the owner of the pit has to pay. V'nafu l'tocho shor ha'chamoru meis, Potter, if an ox or a donkey falls in and dies, he's exempt. My time or why? Lav mishum de lespe chavat, isn't it because the fall of only two tefachim is not very impactful? And you see that it's the impact that makes you pay. So I said, lo mishum de lespe chavat, because there aren't many vapors in a pit that's that small, and therefore you don't have to pay. Yachi, if the issue is only vapor, im huzak bo chayv, if it got damaged, you have to pay, but ha lespe chavat, but it doesn't have many vapors. I mean, the answer in the yeshiva in Hevelu Mesa, there's not enough vapors to kill. But there was enough vapor to cause damage, so you have to pay for the damage. Hahutur, there was an ox, the Nafal Arisa de Deloy, who fell into an irrigation canal. An irrigation canal is one amma deep, an amma is six tefachim. So it fell into an irrigation canal that goes from field to field, watering the fields. So, Shachtei Mare, what happened was that the owner pulled the ox out of the irrigation canal and he slaughtered it to try to eat the meat. So, Tarfir of Nachman. Of Nachman said, I'm sorry, sir, I don't know if that's kosher. Because maybe the fall broke the internal limbs or shook the internal part of the body. And it's a trefa. The animal would not have survived for 12 months. So, Amr of Nachman said, what a foolish man, a rash man. Ishakul Mare da Haitura Kava de Kimcha. If the owner of this ox that fell into the irrigation canal would have taken a kav worth of wheat, v'azel tana bei midrasha, and gone before slaughtering the cow, before slaughtering his ox, to the base medrash, and said, listen, my ox fell into my irrigation canal, can I slaughter it? So then they would have told him, wait, because imsha some eis le'eis, if you have an animal that seems to have fallen, if it waits 24 hours and it's still fine, then you know it's not a trefa. And then Lo'afsa de la Tura, if he would have gone to the court and gotten the right instructions, he wouldn't have lost his ox, the Shava Kamakavi. So because he was cheap, he saved himself a kav of wheat, he ended up losing the ox, which is worth many kav of meat. Amok Sav Rav Nachman, so you see the Rav Nachman's of the opinion. Yeish Chavat, even if the fall is less than 10 tefachim deep, there is an impactful fall. And there can be a lot of damage. Say, Esfei Ravel of Nachman, Rav, a challenge of Nachman with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about all these different types of pits. And it says, Hayu Pchusen Me'asara Tfachim, if they're less than 10 Tfachim deep, V'nafu L'tocho Shor Chamoru Meis Pater. If a donkey and ox fall in and die, then you don't have to pay for it. My time or why? Lav mishum deles bechavata. Isn't it because the impactful fall is not, the impact of such a fall is not that great of an impact? And here he thinks it is a great impact because it only fell 6 tfachim, and he said it's already a trefa. You mean he shows it is a big impact? So I said, look, in the Mishnah, it's not because the impact is not a big impact. Impact is great. Even in 6 tfachim, a fall to 6 tfachim makes an impact. It can knock up all the internal organs of the ox and make the ox not kosher. Aye, so why did the Mishnah say if there was a small pit and an animal fell in and died, you don't have to pay? Because the Mishnah is of the opinion like Rav. Then what makes you pay is not about impact. What makes you pay is the vapors. And if it's only less than 10 tfachim, the vapors there are not enough to kill. Lo mishum deles behevla. There isn't enough vapor in a small pit to kill. If the animal died, it was a fluke and you don't have to pay for it. Yachi, if that's the case, huzak bo chayiv. How could the Mishnah say if the animal got damaged in the small pit, you have to pay for the damage? I holes behevla. But you just said that in a small pit, you don't have so much bad air. You don't have so many bad vapors in the small pit. Amaleis, he said to him, fine. Ein hevelamisa, as we just said, there isn't enough vapor to justify an animal dying by this vapor, but yesh hevel, in a small pit too, there's enough vapor to explain why the animal gets damaged, and that's why you have to pay for the damages. Linizakin. Esve, they challenged Rav with another source. We learned in regards to Masechet Sanhedrin about the death penalty of skila. There are certain sins that carry with it the death penalty of being stoned to death. So the Mishnah teaches how did they do the stoning. Beis HaSkila, there was a building, Hayagavoa Shtei Komos, which was two stories high. The Tani Allah, we looked in a brisa, the Koma Shalo, plus you have the height of the person. So it's two stories, and the person's brought to the top of it, so it's three stories. And then he's pushed off of this building, so he has a fall of three stories. He usually dies when he hits the floor, and even if he didn't, he then gets stoned. And he dies. So, Harekan Shlosha. So in total, there are three stories of the fall. If you're going to say that even less than 10 tfachim can create a very strong impact, an impactful fall. So, Lamali Kuli Hai, why do we have to build such a tall building to push off the person who's supposed to die by stoning? Make it a shorter building. So, 1 second, according to your logic too, that 6 tfachim is not enough of a deep impact. But 10 tfachim certainly is, right? If you say that you have to pay for the impact, then certainly you're paying for the death when an animal falls into a 10 tfachim deep pit and dies. So Navid Asara, why isn't this building for the throwing off of the person guilty of the crime that gets stoning only 10 tfachim tall? Ella rather Kri Rav Nachman. The reason why it's not 10 tfachim tall is based on what Rav Nachman taught. Rav Nachman the pasuk says, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. Even the person who deserves death has to be loved. So how is he loved when he's being put to death? Bror lo misa yafa. They should give him an activity or a way of dying, which is a pleasant way of dying. In other words, it's quick. It happens right away. He doesn't suffer for a while. So if it happens right away, he should fall from a height, because then there's a high likelihood that he'll die right away. It's higher than the likelihood of dying if he only falls from 10 tfachim. If he falls from, you know, something which is, 20 feet up in the sky, there's a higher chance that he's going to die that way. Ihachi, if so, Nigvatfei, make it even higher than 2 stories. Make it 5 stories. Make it 8 stories. Make it 10 stories. Make it 73 stories. Then he'll certainly die the moment he hits the ground. So I said, no, if it's that high, Mishum de Minval, if he falls off from a very tall building, the body gets broken up and it becomes disgraced and it becomes embarrassing to the person. Esfei, they'll challenge you again. This issue we learned. The pasuk says you have to build a fence around your roof, lest a person in the house go up to the top of the roof and fall off the roof. Ki yipola no fail mimenu, for the faller might fall off of it. So we learned the following in the brisa. Mimenu, you have to make a fence to prevent someone from falling from the house onto the street. Lo litocho, but not to make a fence to prevent someone from falling from the street onto the house. Let's say instead of the house being 10 tfachim above the street, the house is 10 tfachim below the street. So you, the owner of the house, don't have to make a fence to try to prevent people from falling onto your house. If the street is 10 tfachim taller than the house, and there's a fear that people might fall from the street into the roof of the house, you don't have to make a fence. But if the street is 10 tfachim deeper, lower than the house, the fear is people are going to fall from the roof of the house onto the street, chayev, you have to make a fence. Now, if you're going to think, even a pit that's less than 10 tfachim deep, if somebody falls into it, the impact is very powerful. So, why is it you only have to make a fence when your house is 10 tfachim high? Even if the house is less than 10 tfachim high, let's say the house is only 4 tfachim higher than the street, you should be making a fence because the fall off of the fall from 5 tfachim to the floor is very impactful. So Amar Leis, he said, no, really a fall of 5 tfachim could also be a fall that has a powerful impact. But shiny bias, but a house is different, and a Torah was obligating you to put a fence on a house. If the house is only 5 tfachim, it's not a house. To be considered a house, it has to be at least 10 tfachim tall. Otherwise, no one can live in it. Pachos mi'asar alav bayisu. Less than 10 tfachim, it's not a house. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, yachi, if so, hashtanami davi me'abaroi asara, even if you have something which is 10 tfachim tall, that's only 10 tfachim tall from the outside. Da'amine tikru ma'aziva, subtract the roof, subtract the cement on which the roof was laid, and mikavoy lo havi asara, inside you don't have a full 10 tfachim, so it shouldn't be considered a house. Amalei said, when we said that if the fall from the roof of the house to the street is 10 tfachim, so you're telling me, one second, it's not really a house, you don't have 10 tfachim of space inside to live in, it's kagon dochak mikavoy. It's when a person dug in from the bottom, so he dug inside off of the floor to create a full 10 tfachim of space inside. Ihachi, if so, why did the Braisa say you have to make a fence if the fall from your roof to the street is 10 tfachim? Even if the fall from your roof to the street is less than 10 tfachim, let's say it's 6 tfachim from the roof to the street. Since it's a fall of 6 tfachim, it can also be an impact. You should have to make a fence. I would say, no, you don't have to make a fence because that's not a house anymore. Why not? It could be a house. If people dug 4 tfachim out of the floor, then you have a house even when there's only a fall of 6 tfachim from the roof to the street. So Ihachi, if that's the case, kilo avi nami me'abaroi asar, even if from the outside you don't have 10, mishkachas ladavi me'gavoi asar, you could have from the inside 10. Could go in the chak batfei if you dug even more than just a tefach or two. Ela einu time of Rav Nachman. So rather, the reasoning of Rav Nachman, why he made this animal a treifa, when the animal fell into an irrigation canal, is not that a fall of less than 10 tfachim creates an impact that can shake up everything that's inside. Savar, he made the following calculation. What is the distance from the stomach of an ox to the floor? 4 tfachim. The irrigation canal, we said, was an amma deep. So how much is an amma? 6 tfachim. Shita. So havi asara. So if the ox fell into the irrigation canal, it had a 10 tfachim long fall. Yes, and a 10 tfachim long fall can kill an ox. Ishtaka, so it comes out, the chi kamichba. When it fell, me asaru the kamichba. It fell from 10. So one second, elamas nisim, the katani ma'bor shu kdei lohamas asara tfachim. Of course, yesh bu kdei lohamas asara tfachim, b'shita nami sagya. Why did the Mishnah say that a pit, which is 10 tfachim deep, is a pit that kills? According to Rav Nachman's calculation, it's actually a pit that's 6 tfachim deep that kills, because the ox itself is 4 tfachim off of the ground, because the ox's head is straight with its stomach, and its stomach is 4 tfachim off of the ground. Amri, they answered, Mas nisin de ingadur lubor. The case of the Mishnah is where the ox rolled into the pit. It rolled on the floor into the pit. That's when the pit has to be 10 tfachim deep. But if the ox is walking and falls into the pit, actually only the pit has to be 6 tfachim deep. Next Mishnah. Borshal shnei shutfin. If a pit is owned by two partners, Avar alav harishon v'lo kiso, the first one walked by and he didn't cover it, Then the Hasheni comes by and he also doesn't cover it. Hasheni Chayev, the second one, is the one who's obligated. Amri, they said in the yeshiva, Barshel Shnei Shutfim, a pit that belongs to partners. Heichem Ishkachasla, how do you have a pit belonging to two people? Hanich Isfir Lang Rabbi Akiva, this would work if you hold like Rabbi Akiva. Damar Barber Shuso Chayev, that a pit that you own, you need to pay for the damage. In other words, if you dug a pit in your courtyard and then you made hefter the area around the pit so people can walk there, but you still own the pit and things fall into the pit, you have to pay for the damage. So then you have a case of partners. Mishkachas Labachatzer Shalshneim, you have a courtyard that belongs to two. Ubar Shalshneim, and the pit belonged to two. And they dug together. And they owned both. They both owned the courtyard and the well. And then if Kiru Rishusan, they made the courtyard the domain hefker. Velo if Kiru Boron, they didn't make the well hefker. So that's owned in a partnership. Ella is Virlan Barber Shuso Pater. But if you're going to say that when you own the pit, you're exempt, like Rabbi Shmuel, so Eichim Ishkachasla. So what's the case of a pit that's owned by two? Dechayev Ella Birshusaram. When do you have a pit that you have to pay for that's. What's the case when you have to pay for a pit in a public domain? How do you have in a public domain two owners of the pit? If two of them together appointed someone and said, you go as our emissary, dig a pit. Finally, they told him, Zil Krilan, go dig for us, Fazal Karlu, and he dug for them. They're not partners in the pit. He's the only one who owns the pit. Because there's no standing of representing someone else if that person sent me to do a sin. If one dug five and the other one dug another five, when the second one digs five, it's all his. The first one's action is gone. So it's not two owners. So according to Rebbe, you can have partners in a pit. In regards to damages payment, mishkachasla. Ella Rebbe Ulamisa. But according to Rebbe, when you're talking about death of an animal, where do you have two partners? Ula Rabbanan and the Rabbanan Bein Lamisa Bein Lenezilkin. Both in terms of paying for the death of an animal and for the damages of an animal. How do you have partners? Heichem Ishkachasla. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan explained. Kagon Shaku Shneim Chulya Bavas Achas. One guy dug nine Tfachim. So he's now responsible for the damages. Someone else comes and adds another tefach. So that person is now responsible for the death of the animal in it. But what happens if that added tefach was added by both of them picking up the dirt together with the shovel? Vishlimu la'asara. Together, they completed it to become a total of 10. So they're now both partners in the end. My Rebbe, my Rabbanah, where was this argument between Rebbe and the Rabbanah? The Tanya we learned in a brisa. Echad achofer bor tisha. What happens if one person digs nine tfachim of a well? Someone else comes and digs a tenth tefach. Ha'achron chayev, only the last one has to pay for everything that happens now. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, achar achron lemisa, only the last one's responsible if the animals die in it. Because the first one didn't create a damager that could kill. But achar shneim l'nizakin, both are still responsible for the damages. My time in the Rabbanah was using of Rabbanan, who say only the last one's responsible for now for everything. Damar Krux, the Pasuk says, ki yiftach v'chi yichwe, if a person opens a pit or if a person digs a pit. So it's a question here. Im al psichachai, if a person's obligated for opening a pit, al kriya lo kol shekein, certainly if he digs a pit, he has to pay. Ella, so why does it talk about digging and opening? Lahavi korach har korah, to teach you that if somebody dug after somebody else dug, silik ma'aser rishon, we only look at the one who dug last. The first one's actions are gone. Rabbi Amalucha, Rabbi will tell you, no. Hanu mitzvah tzvichi kidamina, like we learned yesterday. We need the Torah to tell you that you have to pay for opening a pit, that you have to cover it again. And if, then I wouldn't have thought if you dug a pit, you can cover it. I thought you have to fill it in again. Then I have to say when you dig a pit, you have to cover. Because if it only would have said that, I would have thought that when you open a pit, you don't even need to cover. So I need both. Like we said yesterday, for Rabbanan nami mitzvah tzvichi, we need these both terms for other things. Ella, I need time of the Rabbanan, rather than reasoning of Rabbanan. How do they know that the last one is the only one responsible? Is Amar Kar, because the Pasuk says, Ki yichwe ish bar. When a man will dig a pit, it doesn't say when people will dig a pit. It says a man in the singular term. So, Echad v'lo shnayim, one man's responsible, not two. And Rabbi will tell you, Aumi Baile, he needs that to tell you something else. You can have two people responsible for the damages in the pit. Ki yichwe ish bar, the Torah says when a man will uncover a pit. That's to say, velo sharpar, when a man will dig a pit, and not if an ox digs a pit, but maybe two people can be responsible for a pit. Rabbanan will tell you, treyish bar ksivi, there are two times that the Torah talks about a man's pit. And Rabbi will tell you, I did a ksiv high, kasiv high, since it said it one time, it said it the other time. But really, two people can be responsible for a pit, according to Rabbi. Ask the Gemara, basra. How do you know if you're saying there's only one person responsible, it's the last one who made it 10 tefachim deep? Maybe the first one who made the majority of the pit, the 9 tefachim is the responsible one. And if the Gemara lo sagadatach, you can't think to say that, because the Pasuk says, the amesi alone, the dead body will be his, ahu the kavin misa, the one who made it a killer. We need Hamesi Yeloh for the lesson of Rava. The Amar Rava, Rava said, "Sharp Sula Mukdash Mishnafel Bar Potter." If an ox that had been a carbon falls into a pit, you don't have to pay for the damages. Shenamar Hamesi Yeloh, because the Torah says the dead body will be his. The Misha Meshaloh, you only have to pay for an animal where the dead belongs to someone, not to Sula Mukdash. I mean, the answer is the Yeshiva Vlav Meila Sham Mina. You learn both things on the pasuk. The Bahudav and Misa Skina. The pasuk is talking about the one who did the killing, and he's responsible for the killing. So clearly, the one who did the killing is the only one responsible. What happens if one person digs 10 tefachim, enough to kill, and the next person digs another 10 tefachim, also enough to kill? And then a third person digs another 10 tefachim. So now what's the law? So now do we say only one person is responsible? No. Who and Chayavim, all three are responsible.
Interesting.
Or minu, I'll challenge you, we learned echad achover ba'asara va'acher v'siyed v'kiyed. One person digs a 10 tefachim deep well, and someone else comes and he adds to the walls. He adds cement, or he colors in the cement, so he increases the vapors. Achron chayiv, only the last one is responsible. The first one already did it, made a killer, made a 10 tefachim deep pit. Answers the Gemara, leim maharebi yarabanan. That's the view of Rebbe, that one person who dug 9 and the next person dug the 10th, the one who dug 9 is still responsible for damages. They're both responsible for damages. So he holds that if one dug 10 and somebody else added to the vapors, they're both responsible. He holds if one dug 10 and the next person dug another 10, the next person another 10, they're all responsible. And the Bryce that says if you add it to the vapors, you're not responsible, that's the Rabbanan. Only the last one is responsible. Rav Zvid said no. Havar Rabbanan, maybe they're both. Let us suggest one is Reb, one is Rabbanan. Rav Zvid said no. Havar Rabbanan, both prices are the Rabbanan. Ad kan lo kami Rabbanan. When did the Rabbanan say Achron Chayev? The last one is the only one responsible. Heichad lo avad kamashir misa, because the first one only did 9, which is only enough to damage. The last one did the 10th, so only the last one is responsible. Aval heichad avad kamashir misa, but when the first one did a full 10 and the next one does another 10, afilu Rabbanan modi dekulun chayav. Rabbanan agreed that all are obligated. I see it v'kid. If one dug not 10 and the next one made it even narrower, to covet kamashir misa v'katani achron chayiv, there it said only the last one is responsible. I mean, they answered, asim shloheh bohevel misa v'achar vosu bohevel misa. There was a case where it was dug, but it wasn't narrow enough to have the vapors to kill. By adding the cement, it made it narrower to have the vapors to kill.